Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, listening audience. And we come to you again on this Saturday, December the 2nd, with Conversations with Dr. Mel Butler. And we're going to have a very interesting show today. We're going to play a piece of a segment from 60 Minutes on the air we breathe and why the Clean Air Project is important and the Safe Entry Reprogram is important. And before we get into that, let me start off with the thought for the day, as we always do when we come on here. We do reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimball. Come on in, the water's fine. Money doesn't make a man. Some people have money and some people are rich. Thomas Lewis, Father of Gospel Music. Take a look at some of the limiting beliefs concerning wealth in general and money in particular. Have you even a slight degree bought into any of them? Quote, it takes money to make money, unquote. Money, quote, money is the root of all evil. People resent the rich. The best things in life are free. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man into the kingdom of heaven, unquote. It's easy to see how believing even a few of these myths not only keeps money away from us, but also might make us want to get rid of money we have. There's no lack in the universe. Still, the universe is filled with ideas flowing through time and space. It's up to us to take out of this flowing river of abundance what we want. Unlimited abundance is analogous to the mighty river. Is a vast body of water with many other small rivers leading into tributaries. These tributaries assist in developing strength and power. There's only one Mississippi River. So too, there's only one universal law, which, when rightly used, will lead us to peace, joy, and abundance. Standing in the flow of the universe and saying that there isn't enough wealth go around is like standing in the middle of the Mississippi River thinking, I can't have any more water. All of my water passed by. It's as if you have a blank check. You write yourself to fortune and happiness. Today I will hold my bucket under the fortune of prosperity. That leads me to the introduction of our guest, Dr. Mel Butler. I'm going to put his bio here. Okay. Dr. Mel Butler is a trailblazing civil rights pioneer, a native of Baltimore, Maryland, one of 12 children. His accomplishments include Morgan State University graduate, BS in marketing, dual MBA simultaneously in marketing and management. Over 50 years innovation with his work at the first technological commercialization center, which included the evaluation of the Hummer, Hot Pockets, and Bad News all-purpose sauce, changed the landscape of barbecue sauce recipes across the United States. Dr. Butler is a certified master consultant in the evaluation and marketing of diamonds. Participated in talent consulting for Disney, Ford Motor Company, and United Airlines, as well as a consultant and a contractor with the Small Business Administration, MBDA, Commerce Department. Dr. Butler is a champion for the cause of youth empowerment, continues to work with nonprofits, benefit youth in areas of training and internship development. He also partners with organizations such as Faces Going Places, 501c3, ACE, the Alliance for Career and Education, LLC, the Harlem Wizards, the Harlem Globetrotters, and Universal Soul Service. Along with his passion for golf, Dr. Butler continues to utilize his enormous leadership by creating job training programs and representing retail food and sports, entertainment, through his work at Bakers and Markets, M2M. And the Butler is a vital resource to the next generation of leaders. And with his Faces Going Places radio show on WLOB 1010 in Baltimore, by spearheading scholarship programs, university students. He also, at an early age, saw water in the graveyard. That really opened his eyes up to the entrepreneurship development. So, without further ado, I give you Dr. Mel Butler.
Thanks, Yahi. I'll tell you what, I'm excited. I ate so much turkey last week, I think it's coming up my eyeballs. But it's good to be on the air, all the listeners out there. I hope that they're ready to put their skates on and not waiting for the new year to come. But why not be in motion before it gets here? Why not make your plans and your goals before the new year comes in? That way you'll start off ahead of everybody. We had an interesting conversation, Yahi and I. We looked at the 60 Minutes. It's called The Air We Breathe or Clean Air System. And if you get a chance, all our listeners out there, you ought to pull it up on YouTube. It's under 60 Minutes, The Air We Breathe, and also Air Quality Systems. And it was aired on October the 26th. And there's some other information on under October the 30th. So if you just go to YouTube later after the show is over, and you'll see what they're saying about the air. And, you know, everybody was running around with a mask on. It seemed like nothing did any good. Well, they found out that that virus was airborne, and you as a business person have to be on top of things like that for your benefit, your family's benefit, and the benefit of your customers or people that come to do business with you. Because, you see, if you're not up to date as a business person, things can come along and can wipe you out in a matter of days or weeks. So it pays to be up on the latest news and latest things that could affect you, or also it could affect your employees. And that the study was showing that what they told us to do, that's why you can't listen to everybody, they told us to stay 6 feet distance between people. They also told everybody to go in. If you got the virus, then lock yourself in or stay in the house for at least a week, anywhere from a week to 10 days. Well, they found that all of that is not true. They found that, one, it's an airborne product. The virus is in the air when a person sneezes or coughs. They did a demonstration to show that that virus is in the air because it was just touch. If you touch it, two or three people, then the virus is gone. It's not on that thing that you touch. So they got to rewrite everything. That means the CDC decided to tell people they needed to have good air circulating for their employees. And that's why they use what they call the HVAC system. But you, as a person that's shut in or doing business from your home, you want to really listen and get every bit of news that you can. Because if you want to see a person that's failing, I'll show you a person that doesn't want to learn. So you should always want to learn, always be ready to improve your business, always be ready to reach out and hear somebody else, listen to what somebody else has to say. But, you know, it's been a pleasure just being on the air. I get people calling me all the time saying, what is that reentry program all about? Well, it's something that can help save you, your employees, your family, your friends. You have to really be up on news that affects your business or affects your clients. And one of the ways you can do that, of course, is go in and check some things out on YouTube. You know, you can pull up any subject that you want, and you'll find something is out there on YouTube. You show me a person that's informed, a business person that knows what's going on, a person that has a good center of influence, then I'll show you a person that can be a winner. Because if you're working out of your home, you can be a winner. You can be a millionaire. Why is it that some people can get to be a millionaire and others can't? You heard Jahi talking earlier about they were saying that money is the evil. Well, the Bible doesn't really say it. It says the love of money. So you can have money as children of God. He says he wants you to be rich in every way. But he doesn't want you to really abuse it. So if you take it the wrong way and if all your things that you do is motivated by money, then you're on the wrong trail. So what you want to do is learn from people like you got a good accounting person. Anybody knows about money is those accounting people like Jahi. You got to listen to them, though. What good is it to be a consultant and you have a person that knows his business and you don't take advantage of it? You cannot or should not be one of those persons that questions everything your CPA or your accountant says because he's giving you good advice. Many times I talk to people and they were in business, then they were out of business, then they were back in business, then they were out of business. Well, the ones that listen, they tend to stay in business. If your accountant has recommended ways that you can save money or ways that you can get some money back, then you need to listen to it. What's it going to hurt? If you've been paying taxes every single year and then complain about how much you have to pay, you need some help. So who's the best person to help you? The accountant, the person that files the taxes for you. So if you are an independent business person working out of your home, then you want to make sure, don't wait until New Year's to make resolutions. You need to make some resolutions now. What would it be like if you said to yourself, hey, when this year goes out, I will be well on my way to achieving my goals? Who says you can't make your goals in December so that when January 1st comes, then you're already caught up? If I was a home-based business, I certainly would be calling my accountant and say, what's new in the taxes? Because, you know, they change stuff almost every year. Who better knows than the person that's doing your books or the person that's helping you file? So you want to have a good relationship with that person, not only during tax time, but why don't you call, some of you probably do it, why don't you call that tax person and say, listen, it's getting almost time for us to file. Show me how I can pay less or show me how I can save some money. You see, those kind of things can help you become a better business. People say, well, I don't like people. I don't like going out. No, but if you're going to go in business for yourself, some things that you don't really like, you may have to do. As long as they're honest and as long as they don't hurt anybody, then you should be making decisions to help your business grow. We started this program, and it's called the Safe Reentry Program. It's a pilot program for the next 5 years and teaching people how they can not only save money, but how they could be healthier, happier, and build their business at the same time. You know, there are moments that you can enjoy your business. There's moments that you should have some downtime for yourself and your business. If you're not doing that, then you need to sit down with somebody and say, look, am I on track? Am I on the train? We already talked about a month or so ago about people it's your turn. Your turn. It's your turn. We're looking for people that can add our product to their current line. Whatever you're doing, you can add it to that line First, get yourself and your family in a safe position. Find out. Give Jahi a call. Give me a call. I'm going to give you a number that you can start calling me, because we're setting up and we're looking for good people. And when I say good people, I mean we're looking for people that's a self-starter, a motivator, somebody that wants to make more money in their business. And that person, if you give us a call, and we'll check you out and see what it is you want to do. The consult, the initial consult, it's free. You don't have to pay anything to get free advice. And we would be more than happy to help you do that, because before the year's out, we'd like to get at least 10 persons that we're going to let carry our product as a model and as a partner, which means you keep your own company. You just take a product, the product that we have, the safe reentry product, if you like it, and then you could carry that. You become a person that all the businesses that now, since 60 Minutes, want to make sure they've got clean air in their home, clean air in their office, and they want to make sure that they've got something to offer their employees in terms of coming back. Because people are comfortable at home now. You're probably comfortable. But you need to expand your horizon, expand what you're doing, but don't be afraid to ask somebody. So the best words that you could ever say is, will you help me, please? There are people out there that will help you. Hopefully, you guys got a copy of the National Black Unity News, because I looked at all of those people, and there's 72 pages chock full of people that are going someplace, people that want to do something. If you don't have a copy, you need to get a copy, and of course, you can find it online also. I made that a part of everything that we do. We now let our clients share with them, encourage them to be a part of a collective movement that the National Black Unity newspaper has going on. Folks, there are some things that you can do and be a part of. As an entrepreneur, you now have the freedom. You don't have a boss telling you what to do. You can make as much money as you want. You can expand your program if you want. It's up to you. Now, I'd like to ask a question, have anybody answer if you will. Anybody on this call, has anybody told you that you could earn $1 million in 1 year? If they did, why don't you give us a call and let our listeners know how you did it? Because, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're building monuments or churches. They all take money. But it should be money that you can afford to pay. It should be with a plan that you can work to your satisfaction or based on your needs. You should be building relationships this year, not next year. You should be building the kind of relationships this year that can help you in your business. And I'm sure if you call Jahi or the number to call me now, 443-293-6215. That's a private number as part of the Safe Return Program. That line will be open, and you can get free consultation advice. So we hope that you'll call. Jahi, what are some of the things that? Yeah, what some of the things that a home-based business should be doing this month, the last month, the month of December? What are some of the things that they can do to prepare themselves to be able to utilize your services? Maybe some of them more than they probably don't know all the things that you do, or that they could have done through your business. So can you tell us or tell the listeners maybe some things that, even though it's just December, that they can do to get ready for filing the taxes next year with you?
Number one is make sure that you've got your accounts receivable and your accounts payable in order, and copy of receipts for all of those transactions. I have a lot of times I have people that, when they get ready for tax time, they're trying to find documents and stuff. And if you keep a ledger throughout the year, you can be able to, you know, keep track of them. That's the main thing.
Yeah, but tell me, what about at Staples, though, at a store, say, like Staples, don't they sell whole sets of books that people could use in their business, say, to keep journal entries or expenses? You know, a lot of times I talk to people and they want to go into business, but they don't really know the tools that they might need. you know, like a receipt book, or if you have to cost the job out, there's a book
there's
you
program,
can buy.
There's a program called QuickBooks. That's a good program
now
to use.
Now, that new startup business, how do they get it? Do they just go by the store and get it? Can they get it online, or should they consult you? How do they go? Because when we just say QuickBooks, they still, if they don't know where to go to get them or what QuickBooks does, then you find a lot of people are just operating out of ignorance because they just don't know. Now,
I think they can go to QuickBooks.com and download the program.
Got you. Okay. So tell them, because if people don't have it, they don't even know what QuickBooks does. So what are the advantages of them having QuickBooks? Yeah. I assume that you may have some people online that are not doing some of the things that they could do that could make them do the business better. So QuickBooks will do the bookkeeping for them and call them about that call.
They do the bookkeeping for you, but you still have to make the entries.
Right. But I mean, I've had seminars where people were in my seminar, which is called Millionaires in Training. And when I ask them who does their accounting or what kind of system they use, a lot of them don't know that there's a whole set. If they don't know, because one of the questions to me in my last seminar, a person asked me, well, where do I get these books? And they're doing about $250,000. I said, well, how are you keeping records now? They said, well, they just use a notebook. They said they just use a notebook, but something like QuickBooks, I think I wanted our listeners to know about that and hear about it. But, I'd like to talk about something today that every business person, minority business person, should have. Do you know how people can safely, these are business people, because last week, two of my friends got stopped. They had some kind of roadblock out on the streets. And they weren't going through the roadblock, but they got pulled over anyway. Did you know there are certain things that if people know, all of people of color should know, that are around the Constitution. I used to wonder why so many white people talked back to the police or had attitudes, even would curse at them. And I said, well, that's such a big difference. We do that, we'd be shot. But don't you know, as a business person, do you know what part of the Constitution or what it is in the Constitution that for your children, yourself, or these people that sometimes they stop you for no reason, how many business people know what the rights are? Do you know those things, Jahi? They used to teach Constitution in schools. They don't do it anymore. And I don't know why, but there's some things a business person must know. I realized last week when that man got pulled over, and he was saying some of the things, I knew the Constitution, but I had never had the opportunity to use it like that. Were you aware of that, Jahi?
No. Refresh my memory.
Yeah. Well, under the Constitution, like let's say a police pulls you over, and a lot of people tell the kids, well, you know, keep your hands in sight or put your hands up. If you are stopped by a police officer, you do not have to get out of your car if he has stopped you for no reason. In other words, if you haven't broken some law, he can't say anything to you. And that's the First Amendment, freedom of speech. You can just roll your window up, talk to him through the window. If he says, I want you to show me your driver's license, registration card, and insurance, you can do it from inside your car. You don't have to get out of your car. You can just ask him, why? Did you break any law? What law did you break? Now, under the Fourth Amendment, the First Amendment, you should read the whole Constitution, but the First Amendment is what you tell that policeman that under your rights, you have a right not to talk to him because he's a public servant. And public servants, police work for you. You don't work for the police. They work for you because you pay your taxes. And the First Amendment gives you the right to say anything you want. And I think they have a couple of channels on YouTube that you can pull up cops acting bad or things that you should know. The other thing is the Fourth Amendment, because they cannot stop you and pull you over without a reasonable reason. That's under the Fourth Amendment. And then, of course, you can always invoke the Fifth Amendment, which gives you a right not to incriminate yourself, so you don't have to answer any questions under the Fifth Amendment. You can say that I take the Fifth, and you don't have to tell them anything. Now, when they tell you exit the car, you don't have to obey that kind of command if you have not broken the law, like they say if you were stopped while being black, stopped by while being in Hispanic. So to everybody out there, because they stop old people, they stop young people, and it's not just the young people, and many times you go out there and you don't know your rights. Those are rights that every business person needs to know and needs to pass to the children if they're 16 years or older, if they get stopped by the police for no reason. They must tell you the reason that they stopped you. Now, if they don't and they violate those rights, you can sue them. And many, many law officers, police, have been fired, let go, because they're supposed to know that. They're supposed to know it when they're in training school, not to trample on your First Amendment rights, because sometimes the police will come up and say, you got to move. If you're not doing anything, why do you have to move? But you need to know that law. Don't just try to get out there and just shut up or don't do anything and get yourself in trouble. Now, they cannot detain you. So you can only be detained if you're guilty of passing, doing a law, breaking a law. And that law has to be, he has to tell you and communicate that law to you and let you know what is the reason. If he doesn't have reasonable cause to, say, search you, search your car, any of that stuff, he has no right to do that if you haven't broken any law. And he has to tell you what law you broke. Most of them will get in your face and say that you were being disorderly and resisting arrest. And you ask them, if you're not being contained and if they can't tell you what law you've broken, and they keep you detained or they put you in handcuffs or they put you in the car, then you got a suitcase. And sometimes in some of these states, some of the areas, they will pull you over, particularly this time of the year. That's the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment. We really should know the whole Constitution and read it, because that's the only protection that you have that nobody can take away from you. It makes sense?
Makes
any
sense.
Comments on that, Yahi? Yeah.
I'm going to go to the 60-minute show, all right?
Okay, good.
Now, Dr. John LaPook on assignment for 60 Minutes. With a new strain of COVID on the rise and flu season just getting started, we thought now would be a good time to consider what the pandemic has taught us about preventing the spread of potentially deadly respiratory infections. It turns out viruses like the one that causes COVID-19 can travel through the air
Public
health advice focusing on social distancing, hand washing, and masking was enough. Air quality is very different. From the start of the pandemic, it also should have focused on improving the air we all breathe indoors. Now, some companies are doing just that for the health of their workers and the health of their bottom line.
The original sin of the pandemic was the failure to recognize airborne transmission.
Professor Joe Allen of Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health believes the rapid spread of COVID in early 2020 was preventable.
Think about the public health gains we've made over the past 100 years. We've made improvements to water quality, outdoor air pollution, our food safety. We've made improvements to sanitation, absolute basics of public health. Where has indoor air been in that conversation? It's totally forgotten about. And the pandemic showed what a glaring mistake that was. What do you think was lost because of that lag in understanding of how this was spread? Tens of thousands of lives in the U.S., many more globally? It's not an exaggeration.
It's also no exaggeration to say those early days of COVID were unforgettable. In the U.S., by March 2020, the virus began taking its toll in places like the Life Care Center Nursing Home in Kirkland, Washington. 60 miles away in Mount Vernon, Washington,
Gadget Valley Chorale during its weekly rehearsal in the church. Half the members stayed away, but the other showed up. Among them were board members Debbie Amos, Mark and Ruth Backlund, and Coisey Bettinger.
We just thought hand sanitizer, wash your hands a lot, you know, don't touch each other because that's touch.
None of it was good enough. Within a few days, chorale members began to get sick. In all, COVID hit 53 of the 61 people there that night. Two of them, both in their 80s, died.
We were going, this is going to be spread another way because we were good.
So COVID was percolating, and you thought you were doing everything you were supposed to do.
Gadsden County health officials said the rehearsal could be considered a super spreading event, one of the earliest in the country, and concluded that choir members needed intense and prolonged exposure to surfaces, droplets, and possibly even microscopic airborne particles called aerosols containing the virus. That caught the attention of Lindsay Marr, a Virginia Tech University professor specializing in aerosol science, and several of her fellow researchers. Even though the medical community was focused on droplets, surfaces, and hand washing, these researchers strongly believed COVID was mostly an airborne disease, but needed more proof, so they launched their own analysis.
I thought, wow, this is even worse than I thought. It has to be airborne. There's really no other explanation for it. Some people are going to say, oh, they all touch the same doorknob, but after the first few people touch that doorknob, there's no more virus left. That's what happens with our exhaled breath.
Professor Marr used a portable fogger to help explain how so many choir members could have gotten sick.
When they're singing, they are releasing virus particles into the air constantly, probably, like this. And those are going to drift around in the room. Notice they're not just falling to the ground. And now as we continue to sing, there's more and more of them in the room. And as you can see, as they're drifting around, they're reaching these other people nearby. And they were there for 2.5 hours. And you can imagine that after that amount of time, the other people would have breathed in enough of them to get sick themselves.
Especially if at night the HVAC system was turned off.
As far as we know, it wasn't running. And so there was very poor ventilation in that room when this was all happening.
An HVAC unit, short for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, is the heart and lungs of any building. The researchers suspected the thermostat most likely shut off the HVAC unit because the chorale members were generating enough heat on their own.
And right now, there's no ventilation.
Very, very low.
Okay.
And actually, it's similar to what was in the church where the group was rehearsing.
Then, Professor Marr turned up the circulation to show us how better airflow could have helped remove aerosols and slow the spread of virus.
Instead of just drifting all over the room, you can actually see it, right, going up.
Sure, I can. That is dramatic.
The analysis led to one of the most significant papers on the importance of ventilation published during the pandemic. Then, last year, a study in Italy went further. It found that by using a school's fans and air ducts to mechanically exchange indoor air with outdoor air 5 times an hour, the risk of COVID-19 infections decreased by at least 80%. But in the U.S., it took until this past May for the CDC to recommend an air exchange rate at all.
You look at the way we design and operate buildings, and I mean offices, schools, local coffee shop, we haven't designed for health. We have bare minimum standards. In schools, the minimum air change by design is about 3 air changes per hour. Remember, we want at least 4 to 6. If we'd had these indoor air quality targets before the pandemic, how do you think the pandemic would have unfolded differently? We still would have had spread. This isn't an end of the pandemic thing. We would have had a lot less of it, and we've had a lot less of these super spreading events. Think about the early days of the pandemic with the curve. Stay home. Why wasn't improve indoor air quality part of flatten the curve? We had tools to protect ourselves. Masking, great tool. It's a filter. But we ignored the building side of this.
So, Aaron, buildings are Alan's business. As the founder of Harvard's Healthy Buildings Program, he diagnoses problems in air quality systems and comes up with solutions for clients that include CBS's parent company, Paramount, commercial real estate companies like Beacon Capital Partners, with buildings like this one in downtown Boston. And he advised Amazon before these new 22-story towers opened last May in Arlington, Virginia, where he gave us a tour.
What does the state-of-the-art building look like in terms of air?
We see a lot of the elements in this building. You have a dedicated outdoor air system that's delivering air above the minimum requirements. Then it's going through two MERV 13 filter banks. They have highly filtered air.
MERV stands for Minimum Efficiency Reporting Value. A rating of 13 means it catches up to 90% of airborne particles, depending on their size, as the first line of defense, not just against COVID, but other airborne respiratory illnesses like flu and RSV. This is a part of the building in this department, whether you're healthy or sick, the building. Really, what happens in this space?
You can just see the building's on the right.
At Amazon's new office, the top floor is a maze of meters, pipes, and air ducts.
This is the air intake.
Part of a $2.5 million HVAC system that begins with massive roof vents and dampers.
Right here, this is the whole existing system. This is where the air comes into the building, it's filtered, it's cooled, and then how much air reaches the office people and how to see that area.
Downstairs, each sensor that tells building engineers about the quality of the indoor air, such as levels of carbon dioxide, known as CO2.
The carbon dioxide, that's right. The less carbon dioxide, the better ventilation.
Really straightforward. High carbon dioxide means you're not getting enough outdoor air from that system we just looked at. If it's low, you're in good shape. Then we also measure particles. That tells us things about, like, outdoor air pollution.
The entire system can be monitored and controlled from the basement.
Remember we talked about carbon dioxide as an indicator for ventilation? Well, I can see in this building, all of these are under 800 parts per million.
So that's good.
That's great and really important. If a lot of people went into a space, the CO2 level would rise. This system would recognize it. The dampers would open up and bring in a lot more outdoor air.
Katie Hughes, Amazon's Director of Health and Safety, pointed to the waves of wildfire smoke that have swept down from Canada as the ultimate test of the indoor air quality system.
Not too long ago, Washington and Virginia were sort of smothered by this smoke coming down from Canada. What happened in this building?
You would expect the air quality within the facility to not be great. Our buildings were performing very well.
Hughes says Amazon has been updating many of its HVAC systems, including in its warehouses. A recent survey of facility managers in the U.S. and Canada found that since March 2020, roughly two-thirds of respondents have upgraded their MERV filters and increased their air exchange rates. In New York City, J.P. Morgan Chase says its new headquarters will have state-of-the-art air quality control. And this new skyscraper, called One Vanderbilt, already runs a modern HVAC system.
COVID shifted everybody's mindset in terms of air quality, in terms of communicable or infectious diseases.
Are you finding that Amazon is making a business, partially, by saying, look, it's okay for you to come back to work because we're telling you that the air inside this building is safe?
I think it's one of many reasons why we expect or would like people back in the office, but it's a good thing to have. It's probably one of them.
A well-operated HVAC system is not only good for the health of employees, it can be good for the health of companies, too, especially with people working remotely, leaving many commercial building owners looking for tenants.
There's empty office space in New York City and elsewhere. How do you think this new thinking might affect that in terms of people even wanting to come to work? The dynamic has changed. It's a total buyer's or tenant's market. All else equal, which building are you going to go to? You have your choice right now. This building that put in healthy building controls, or this building that's designed the way we've always designed buildings and is prone to being a sick building. So it actually can help the bottom line, in addition to, of course, improving health. Yeah. What about retrofitting a building that's old? I think it's a misconception that old buildings can't be healthy buildings. Some of these fixes don't take much. Improving the level of filtration, that's easy, it's cheap, protects against COVID-19, influenza, also protects against wildfire smoke and outdoor air pollution, protects against allergens, simple, absolute basic things that can be done.
The Skagit Magic Valley Chorale rehearsals are now in a different church with a new HVAC system. Doors stay open to bring in fresh air, regardless of the season. And there are even portable carbon dioxide monitors to track ventilation.
We've been through a traumatic experience, and we've tried to learn from that and did help the science with the aerosol study, and now we're moving on in a way that we can still sing, but in a more safe manner.
Do you worry that when the spotlight of the pandemic starts to fade, that people will forget and that they won't act the way they should in terms of buildings?
I'm a bit more optimistic than that. I think there are fundamental shifts that have happened. Scientific and medical literature is being rewritten. The government and standard-setting bodies are setting new health-based standards. Businesses are responding and won't forget what this meant to their employees' health and their business. So I don't think we're going to forget these lessons. We better not.
What we know now about the effect.
All right. That was a 60-minute special there. And they talked about the same thing you're talking about. It's just that we do it different with a light bulb that filters the air.
About two years earlier than they're talking about, because we have the light, right. But we have the also, and see, they're talking about the problem where we're talking about a solution. Because
right.
those big systems they're talking about cost a couple million dollars, but while they're waiting to get those installed, then people could coat their offices and coat their home with the coating or a combination of the light and the coating. That's why this demonstration project, it's a demonstration pilot project for the next 5 years, because in 5 years, there's a mandate that our air pollution has to be cut by a certain percent. That's a government goal, that if they don't meet that goal, if we don't meet that goal, then they have to get fined. So to all our listeners, it's an invitation. One, they should go to the link and listen to it carefully. But protect the family. We want to be proactive instead of reactive. So there are things that they can do if they call us that we can let them know that they can do now. If people get ready to get together on Christmas, that's generally a time when most people go and visit or go out of town. They're around different people. They're traveling in a car or on a plane. And if they're not protected the right way, then, you know, we're going to have a lot of people being sick. Hopefully, our listeners, those people that are doing the one-on-one business from their home, hopefully they'll call and find out how we might be able to help them. So how's our time looking, Jahi? I'm not near a clock.
We got 17 minutes left.
Okay, you have anything you want to add to that? I've got another appointment that I've got to speak at. I think it's at the 4:30, quarter five. So, but to our listeners, we didn't have any callers to call in yet. There was nobody waiting to call in?
And nobody called in.
Okay. So do you have something else you want to share or want us to share?
No, that's it for today's show.
Okay. And I'm happy, always glad to be on the show. Hope people will call. Again, that number is 443-293-6215. And that would be free consultation for the pilot show, the Return to Work pilot show. It's a 5-year program, and we're looking for people that want to maybe handle the product so they can be a part of the experiment, or they have an office or business that they can refer us to, and then we will take it from there. But I've enjoyed this day. It's been very, very inspirational. And possibly next time we do, we'll have something else that's nice for everybody.
All right.
Okay. Let me go. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go in here and let my card playing family say hello to you. Would you like for me to do that?
That'd be fine.
All right. Hold the line. Music family, can y'all say hello to Baba Jahi on our radio show? I told him I'm here playing cards with my family. We do that. Yeah, say hello.
Hi.
The show is called Blog Radio. It goes up to about 40,000 people. Thank you. All right, Jahi. So until next time, okay?
All right.
All right, have a good one. Bye.
Yes, sir. Hey, that concludes our show for today. We're going to go out with our theme song, Call It's My Time. And so hold back and listen to the song. Well, that concludes our show for today. Go to www.thethe Tax, T-A-X, Helper, H-E-L-P-E-R, Whibley, W-E-E-B-L-Y, .com. If you want more information about this show or about taxes as you prepare for the upcoming tax season. All right. Take care and have a wonderful week.